We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Regardless of one's age, there is a living heritage, adventures, experience, and memories to share. So be sure to show how much you care by remembering an elderly family member, friend, or neighbor, by a ride to church, a trip shopping, or better yet, take the time to visit. Learn about life from the most experienced people in the world and make a difference. That's from Brush Housing Authority, reminding listeners for housing programs, call 970-845-5046. That's 970-845-5046. Brush Housing Authority on the air, because they care. Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Well, and here at the American Peace Network, and I guess this morning is Mr. William Deere, who's a investigative reporter, and he has certainly been investigating for some time the disappearance, pardon me, the murder conviction of O.J. Simpson. He's written a book now. It's out. We've interviewed him in the past. Talked about his investigation, but now he's written a book called O.J. Was Innocent, and I Can Prove It. And to basically, you know, if you look at the O.J. Simpson trial, you understand that this was specifically staged, in my estimation, to create a dissension between black and white. Most black people feel that O.J. was set up, as do I. And most white people feel that O.J. was guilty of sin, and he got away with murder. And then what happened in Nevada, where he was eventually convicted of, of illegal activity, of threatening somebody with a gun, only he didn't have a gun. The guy who had the gun was well paid to set up O.J. to send him to prison for a crime he didn't commit. And I feel, needless to say, you don't care what I hear, what I believe. Let's hear what Mr. Deere believes, because he spent a great deal of time investigating the crime scene, investigating the whole issue. And Mr. Deere, you picked the story up. How did you get involved? Why do you think that O.J. is innocent? And we'll go from there.
Well, first of all, I became involved in this because I was the guest speaker at the International Council Investigator and Reporters and Editors like Newsweek and Primetime on the 17th of June. That's 5 days after the murders. And after I got through speaking, I think there were 600-700 people. People said, what about the car chase scene that's going on? And I said, oh, it's something concocted by O.J.'s lawyers. It'll go on for hours and hours to get him off. And my son, I'm a single parent, said, Dad, you're assuming he's guilty. And I said, well, look at the evidence. And he said, that's it. He said, every time you teach homicide to law enforcement and to individuals and to private investigators, you always have me put up a sign that said, never assume and always verify. And because of that, I took heed of what he'd said, realized my responsibility. So within a few days after coming back from St. Louis, I took one of my men, Chris Stewart, who'd been with me 20 years. We flew out to Los Angeles on Saturday morning. When we arrived, we looked around. It was like a media circus out at Rockingham and at Bundy. We knew that the murders occurred on Sunday, so we decided that I would then arrive approximately what was described as the approximate time of the murders, and I would then drop Chris off at the corner of Bundy and Dorothy. I would walk down Dorothy, turn right to the alley, go behind there to the second unit, climb over her back gate, and walk that walkway. Well, as you know, they have police tapes there, but I was convinced that I needed to look at it myself. So I walked that walkway. As I got to the very front, I realized that whoever it was would have had to have been seen by Nicole because there was a picture window to the right of the door. And in Los Angeles, like a lot of places, you certainly don't open your door to a stranger, and particularly since the back gate should have been locked and the front gate locked. I could see some of the blood still remaining at the crime scene from Goldman and from Nicole. Sat down on the steps, went back over in my mind, as I've done many, many times on hundreds of homicides I've worked over the years, and felt, after looking at this, that O.J. was at the crime scene but did not commit the murder. And I realized also that whoever had committed the murder would have had to have been known by Nicole for her to open the door first. Secondly, the individual that was killed, Ron Goldman, was trained in karate. He knew karate and would have had to have placed some real bruises and marks in trying to defend himself. But we also knew that our suspect, at that time we weren't sure who it was because we set out to find out, interviewed 12 people that we felt that could have been the possible suspects. That it had to be somebody that O.J. knew and Nicole knew. Eliminated all of them, to be honest with you. So I decided to have dinner one night at a restaurant called Jackson's Restaurant at 8908 Beverly Boulevard in Beverly Hills. And there I noticed that our suspect, O.J.'s oldest son, had been given an airtight alibi that he was cooking in front of 200 people on the night of June 12th. So I asked somebody there, and they said, oh, Carlos Ramos has been there with us since the day we opened. So I was kidding with Carlos, and I said, I understand you had somebody famous working here as a chef that night. He said, yes, O.J.'s son, Jason. And I said, really, what happened? He said, we finally had to close the restaurant on Sunday nights due to lack of business. And Jason was the acting chef that night because the owner and the operator, Alan Ladd Jackson, had taken off to be with one of the investors of the restaurant. And I said, well, this restaurant doesn't hold 200 people. He said, no. He said, in fact, if you put from front to back, inside and out, it hold 88. Well, that drew a big red flag for me, the fact that Jason was working as an acting chef that night. So I made the statement, how many people were in your restaurant night? And he said, oh, between 30 and 40. There goes another red flag. Who gave him the airtight alibi? He was cooking in front of 200 people. Then I asked him, I said, what do you do when the business is slow? Don't you shut down the grill? And he said, yes. In fact, on the night of June 12th, he said, grill shut down about an hour early, and the first thing that the chefs do is to clean up the kitchen, and they leave. And I said, so that, and I thought, I need to talk to this young man later. So I made arrangements to meet him later. He talked to me openly and said that our suspect had left about 55 minutes prior to the murders and that his girlfriend, who had come to pick him up, began to cry and was upset for some reason. Said that Jason was expecting to be cooking for his stepmother, Nicole, Justin and Sydney, his half-brother and sister, and the families. And there were about 13 people, and she did not show up. And the way Carlos talked, he became very upset over the fact of being embarrassed that she didn't show up. And so when he left that restaurant, we then took what Carlos had given us, plus what other people had given us, and we went to interview the girlfriend, and she gave him an airtight alibi that he had come up to her, dropped her off at the restaurant. That she had picked him up at the restaurant. They drove over to her house. They parked the Jeep, and he came upstairs and stayed with her. Well, later I was able to prove that that was not true, that he drove her home, which is about 5 minutes away, dropped her out, and she went upstairs, and he left, supposedly to go home to his place. Well, now, we don't believe that's what happened.
Before we go on, Jason was O.J.'s son by a previous marriage.
Right. O.J. had two wives. Originally, it was Marguerite, his high school and college sweetheart.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment here with Mr. William Steer.
Hello? 11 years ago when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I own tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at the Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of the Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Stan here, I guess, this morning. Mr. William here. William, go right ahead. And you were just saying that Jason's girlfriend, that's O.J.'s son's vice first wife, girlfriend, had given him an airtight alibi that supposedly he was with her during the night. Is that correct?
That is correct. You have to understand that Jason was, his mother was Marguerite, which was O.J.'s high school and college sweetheart. They had actually three children. They had Arnell, the oldest daughter. They had Jason. Then they had little Aaron, who was 23 months old, who drowned in the swimming pool at Rockingham. And our suspect was supposed to be watching her, but walked off and left the child by the pool, and the child fell in. By looking at that problem many years ago, we started looking into our suspect. We felt at this point a lot of the things that came forward were important and needed to be checked even further than I had it originally. So I found that our suspect at the time of the murders had been charged with assault with a deadly weapon, a knife, assault to do bodily injury, assault with intent, and the charges had been lowered. We think it was all political to the fact of violating the peace and given 2 years probation, community service. But yet, assault with a knife should have been another red flag for the Los Angeles Police Department or the District Attorney's Office. Because at the time on June 12th, he was on probation for that. We found also that weeks prior to that, he had checked into Cedar Sinai Hospital emergency room, telling the attending physician, "I'm out of my Depakote. I'm about to rage." Well, it's been established during the trial that this was a rage killing by an amateur. That, again, is another red flag. Now, a lot of people know that Depakote is used for seizures and epileptic seizures, but it's also used to control intermittent rage behavior, intermittent rage disorder, of which our suspect had been suffering from for a period of time. We interviewed one of his former girlfriends, and she said that he told her just 2 weeks prior to the murders he'd quit taking that Depakote. It was making him sick. What people don't realize is that you cannot quit taking that medication unless the doctor tells you to do so. We found that he'd been drinking heavily, that his girlfriend at that time during the murders, Jennifer Green, according to an article that we located, had been pulled out of a car, and he had tried to choke her to death because of something that had happened at his birthday party where his former girlfriend came up and gave him a kiss and wished him a happy birthday, and it made the current girlfriend upset. and he then went at his current girlfriend. We've been told many times by his friends, associates, he has a bad, bad rage behavior. He loses it. We found that he had three attempted suicides, one where he stabbed himself in the stomach with a pair of scissors, cut his wrists with broken glass, overdosed. We found records where he overdosed at age 14. We found records where he indicated in his psychiatric, where he was placed in a psychiatric unit at St. John's Cedar of Sinai Medical Psychiatric Unit, where he didn't like women to lie to him. It went on and on with all these red flags. Number one, now we've established that he left 55 minutes prior to the murders. Two, he had no alibi. Three, he'd attacked a previous girlfriend. Four, he'd been taking Depakote but quit taking it. Five, we found that even the prescription bottles in his trash, which we, you know, were able to obtain, came from Brentwood Pharmacy, where his father had said, "I'm not going to be paying this bill any longer." That's according to what he told the pharmacy. We knew that he was upset that night on June 12th because of the fact that Nicole did not show up. Yet here we have a man who's 5'11", 235 pounds, 24 years old, and on probation for assault. If that isn't red flags, I don't know what it is. And that's just the beginning of what I've been able to put together in this book.
All right, fine. Well, because the thing is that the court has found that O.J. was guilty. And you believe that O.J. was there that evening? Do you think that O.J. knows who committed the crime?
I always have. I felt, first of all, let me say this. The Jeep that he was driving, the white Bronco, had no blood on the brake and no blood on the accelerator. Yet Ron Goldman was trained in karate and had 27 stab wounds, which means he fought for everything, even falling down and kicking his feet up. There was a cut on the bottom of his tennis shoe. There was blood all the way around. If anyone had been the assailant, O.J. Simpson in particular, it would have been, blood would have been all over his hair, all over his eyes, all over his clothes, all over his shoes, and moving around in the dirt to doing that karate pro and defending himself, blood would have been attracted to the bottom of O.J.'s shoes. But yet there was no blood on the brake, no blood on the accelerator. And Marsha Clark had said that the Bronco was full of blood. That's not a true statement. That Bronco had less than a thumbnail of blood inside that Bronco. Also, when you look at the pair of socks that were found at the foot of O.J.'s bed, that pair of socks was the only thing up there that indicated, other than the blood, five blood drops inside the foyer downstairs, that O.J. may have been involved. But one important thing that we've been able to determine is that pair of socks that was lying at the foot of the bed contained blood from Nicole and blood from O.J., but the blood contained EDTA. Now, for your listeners, if they go to a doctor, they draw blood, they put it into a vial, and they shake it. And the reason they shake it is so that the particles of EDTA coagulate with the blood to preserve the blood for testing at a later date. In this particular case, the blood on the socks, as I indicated, contained EDTA and had been dropped on the socks from a vial of blood that had been documented by Dr. Frederick Reeder, one of the top chemists in the world, who'd been used by the FDA. FBI many, many times on a lot of the cases. The other thing that was important is the blood went from side to side, which meant there was no foot in it. There was no blood in the hamper, no blood in the toilet, no blood in the drain, no blood on the towels, no blood anywhere, no blood even going up the staircase leading to this bedroom except that pair of socks. Now, that is another major red flag. We then checked and found that when O.J. came back from Chicago, police took him into custody when he arrived at Rockingham. They took him down to the jail, Van Etter and Lang, the detectives, and they took him to the jail nurse, Thanoparitis, who I met with, one of the nicest people you'd ever talk to, and he was told to examine O.J. from his toes to his nose and see if there were any cuts or marks. The only mark he found was on his left knuckle. There were no cuts or bruises on him whatsoever, and Van Etter asked Thanoparitis to draw blood. Thanoparitis said he drew into a vial the blood that contained inside the tube EDTA, shook it, and that he drew 8 cc's of blood. Protocol would have them send it over to the crime lab. Instead, Van Etter asked for the blood, and the vial was put into Van Etter's pocket, and when Van Etter returned it later that day, only had 6.5. Another major red flag.
Now, who is Van Etter?
Van Etter would have been the detective in charge along with Detective Tom Lang.
And,
Detective Van Etter was the one that testified in the trial and brought forth a lot of the evidence. But you've got to keep in mind that, you know, it is what it is. We know that the blood on the socks had to come from a vial of blood. And when I talked to Thanoparitis, he said, Mr. Deere, I was pressured into saying on the stand that I may have only drawn 6.5. But he said, Mr. Deere, I've been doing this a long time. I drew 8 cc's of blood. But he was so close to within a year of retiring, he did what he said. He said, I told the truth, basically. It is possible I was wrong. But he said, I know I wasn't. But Marshall Clark pressured me into saying, it is possible, is it not? Well, that's another major red flag. You look at O.J. Simpson and realize that, in my mind, that O.J. Simpson had come to the crime scene because of who we believe it to be, a suspect, Jason Simpson. And when he came to the crime scene, he entered from the rear. When he walked that walkway, he bent down, took off the glove, and checked her pulse. And when he did, the head went one way and the body the other of Nicole. And he dropped that glove and looked up and saw Ron Goldman. I think he panicked like any of us. Even I've been in this business a long time. If it was a dark alley, dark room, dark walkway, and you look down and all of a sudden you see what you saw in a woman who you really had a love-hate relationship, you would panic too. When he looked up, he realized that there was no, the children were asleep. The one important thing that nobody's really covered in this is that on the night of June 12th, there was a recital of where Jason was not able to be there because he was working that night. So that's why they were preparing to eat at where he was working at Jackson's. But when OJ was at the recital, you could see film of him laughing and talking to Nicole's family and Justin and Sydney. He was also told by little Sydney that she was going to have a sleepover that night. So OJ, according to the LAPD, had pre-planned a premeditated murder, yet he knew his daughter was going to have a sleepover on a summer night. Well, most people know that kids, when they're having sleepovers, they don't go right to sleep. They stay up late. If the murders occurred at 10:03 to 10:05, somewhere along that timeline, then why would he have not thought the children would be awake? But he did not know until later that the sleepover had, in fact, been canceled. When you look at the blood that was found at the crime scene, 5 drops or 6 drops at the crime scene, they never compared it to that of our suspect, Jason Simpson. First blood of firstborn son is very similar in DNA, and it had to been checked, but never has. Our suspect was never interviewed by the LAPD from June 12th to this date as we're speaking today. And next week, I guess it's nearly 2 weeks from now, it's going to be June 12th, which will be a total of 18 years. OJ was set up, as far as we're concerned, in Las Vegas, Nevada. We know the man who set him up. We've studied him. We know he made over $100,000. To me, it was if they couldn't get him one way, they were going to get him another. I've never met OJ Simpson. The money that I spent on that first book, I did it out of my own pocket, and I did it because I believed in truth and justice. Because of that, we received some critical information and documentation that's in our new book. Number one, we received a call from the man who was the silent partner at Jackson's Restaurant, who said that Jason Simpson's time card for the night of June 12th had been altered. In other words, it had been taken out, replaced, and it was written in at 2:30, out at 10:30, but yet 2 days later it was time clocked in, and we checked and found that the time clock was working on the night of June 12th. We also found that Jason Simpson had put into storage, public storage, a box, just one big box. Inside that box was a number of items. There was the jacket that he wore when he made the speech for his dad, when his dad was found not guilty before the press. We found a subpoena by Christopher Darden, the district attorney, asking for Jason Simpson's medical records. We found evidence that showed that early on that OJ had hired Carl Jones, a top criminal lawyer, to represent his son, Jason. There was letters inside there. There was the death certificate of little Aaron in there. There were probably 100 photographs, one in particular that stood out to us. And there it was, Jason Lamar Simpson in bed with his dog, wearing the knit cap that we feel was the one that was found at the crime scene that contained dog hairs, that when they checked it and took it into evidence at the crime scene there on Bundy, it did not match conclusively hair belonging to O.J. Simpson. They never compared it to Jason. That, to me, was a major red flag. At the bottom of this box, though, you pulled out, and there was a knife. A knife in a sheath with the initials JS scratched onto the case that indicated Jason Simpson. We took it to a Gerber rep who said, this is one of our, it's a replica of one of our Gerber Mark I's designed for one purpose, to cut and to kill. And he said, you can see where the top had been removed. We then took it to one of the top medical examiners in the world, Dr. Vincent DeMaio, the author of Gunshot and Knife Wounds, who compared it with the autopsy photographs of Nicole Simpson and found that the top of the knife matched the indentation to the laceration sustained by Nicole Simpson on her head. Now keep that in mind. The blow on top of Nicole Simpson's head was not fatal. It rendered her unconscious, but and would have caused her to have stitches and certainly been knocked unconscious. It wasn't until the assailant finished with Ron Goldman that Nicole's coming to that he puts his foot on her back, pulls her head back, and cuts her throat. Three times. This knife was a double-bladed knife, which was indicated in testimony as either being a single-blade knife or a double-bladed knife, razor sharp. And this knife that we found in question fit that criteria, same as Dr. DeMaio examined the wounds sustained by Ron Goldman, and they, too, were similar in nature. He felt in all probability this was the knife in question. Yet LAPD is still not interested.
Well, are they aware of your investigative work?
We've contacted them on numerous occasions. They email us back. This is one of the emails. You'll get a kick out of this. Came from Officer Ross Harney. He said,
Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment with Mr. Williams.
Taste the difference at Herb's Meats and Specialty Foods, providing natural meats and wild game like elk, buffalo, venison, veal, quail, and duck. Get your delicious homemade soups, stews, sauces, and tamales, pot pies, and desserts to go at Herb's Meats in Broomfield. Call 303-499-8166 or stop by 1000 Depot Hill Road. That's 1000 Depot Hill Road at the intersection of Highway 287 and 10th Avenue in Broomfield. 303-499-8166 or herbsmeats.com. Open 7 days a week.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Rehabilitation and Visiting Nurse Association for Fort Collins and Greeley reminds everyone, if you're aware of a senior citizen living alone, make it part of your weekly routine to check on their welfare. Make sure they have current medications and they're eating correctly. Also, make sure they have proper room temperature and are well hydrated. The hour or so you spend can make all the difference. This message is from Rehabilitation and Visiting Nurse Association. For information, call 970-225-9499.
Have you been dreaming of new kitchen cabinets? Maybe you want to reface or repair your current ones but think it's too expensive. Are you on a budget but know you need to maximize and organize the storage space in your home, basement, or workplace? What about you gun enthusiasts who would like a customized display cabinet, or those emergency preppers who want a hidden storage unit designed for that unique space? Whether you want quality custom design cabinets, specialty woodwork, or budget repairs, Custom Cabinet Shop can help you with whatever you need. High-end or low-end, remodel, reface, or replace. This family-owned and operated business since 1980 will help you design just about any project. Call 303-340-1390. That's 303-340-1390. Find us on Facebook for your free quote and single on-site visit. Service area is limited.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Well, I stand back here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning is Mr. William Deere. Mr. Deere, before we go on, I want to tell the listeners how they get the copy of your book, how they can get to your website, how they can get more information on this, because it's a fascinating subject. I sincerely believe that, I was convinced that there was OJ was set up on this. When I saw the Time magazine feature a picture of OJ Simpson on the cover of Time magazine, and that intentionally darkened his skin. OJ is very light-skinned black man. Why would OJ do that? Why did they focus the entire television networks, all of them, on that trial day after day after day after day? That's all we saw. They canceled the other programs so we could watch the trial. Why did they do that? Why was it so important? Well, it created racial hatred in America. And to this day, I believe most blacks believe OJ was set up. I believe that most blacks, most whites believe that he was guilty of sin. And there is this division. There are people constantly working to divide America into racial groups. And that's my opinion on it, because there's no question at all that O.J., the evidence against O.J. was staged, because the socks that had the blood on them, it was on both sides of the socks. It had to go. You put on one side of the sock and it soaked through the other side of the sock. You don't do that if there's a foot in the sock. That blood, in my estimation, was placed there while they were laying on the bed, and that's why the blood, of course, had basically EDTA in it. Go right ahead.
What was amazing, when I've tried so many times, we've sent emails, we even filed a Freedom of Information Act request to the district attorney's office and requested with experts to look at and examine the socks, examine the knit cap, the socks, and the glove. But we were told they could not find any of that evidence, but we could look at the photographs. Well, I then filed a letter that said, okay, as soon as you do find it, will you let us know? And they emailed it. They wrote us back and said, yes, as soon as we can find the evidence, of which we cannot find so far, we will inform you. Well, 2010, I found the evidence. It was on display, believe it or not, at a homicide convention put on by the Los Angeles Police Department in Las Vegas, Nevada. There in a glass case was the knit cap. There was the gloves. The one supposedly, according to the district attorney's office, Hodgman, had been lost. Well, when we received that email from Ross Harding that said, O.J. Simpson murdered Nicole Simpson, Ron Goldman, jury found him not guilty, case closed. That's not true. Homicide, there is no statute of limitations. That's why everything I've written in this book, I've tried to document every single thing. It's not theory. It's based on fact. The first book was a lot of fact, a lot of theory, but this one has all the evidence. In fact, the emails and letters we're getting from OJ's innocent, I can prove it, have turned a lot of people into believing what the truth should be. People can get it at Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com. It's even available on Nook and Kindle now. They can even go to my website, BillDeere.com. I've worked now, next month, 18 years on this, and to me, it's my money. It's my work and my effort in trying to seek the truth and bring closure for both families.
Well, I admire you for that. And so basically, they can get the book. It's O.J. is Innocent, and I Can Prove It. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And it's a fascinating read, ladies and gentlemen. And Mr. Deere is to be congratulated for following through on this. When the police department starts staging evidence and places of blood, with EDTA on it, onto the stockings, was very smart. If they just put on one side, it would have been one thing. But it had to be that they were laying on the bed, socks were laying on the bed, because the blood soaked from one side of the stock to the other. It wouldn't do that if there was a foot in it. And obviously they set O.J. up, and they did it immediately. Now, why do you think the detective department down there in Los Angeles conspired to set up O.J. Simpson? We have this from lots of sources. We know that they intentionally set him up. Why did they do that?
Well, we think what happened was when they went to the crime scene, they did things they should not have done. One of the first things they made a major mistake in is they went directly over to Rockingham and climbed over that gate. Once they did that, that was called improper search and seizure. So anything that they would have obtained, had it not tied directly into the crime scene, could have caused a mistrial. But because the blood splatter right there, the fact they found blood inside there, they had to make that. And I'm sorry to say that. I'm pro-policeman. I've been inducted, in all honesty, in Police Officers Hall of Fame as a private investigator for my work in solving murders around the world. that's what I believe in, is truth and justice. In this case, they made a serious mistake. It's just similar to what President Nixon did. If President Nixon had come out and said, I didn't tell him to burglarize it, but I am responsible, and I'll take the responsibility for what happened. But he didn't do it. He covered it up, same as LAPD has covered this up.
All right, fine. Well, basically, but they're still covering up. That's what's so
criminal. That's correct.
It's
been 18 years. In fact, we just got some information yesterday that was very important to us. In fact, it may be coming out very soon. One of the things was established that Jason Simpson, who, by the way, we interviewed some of the officers, and one of the detectives, Detective Pietroni, one of the nicest guys you're going to meet in the LAPD and Homicide Division, checked and found that O.J. Simpson had been interviewed, but Jason Lamar Simpson had never been interviewed because he was represented by an attorney and refused to cooperate. But since the book came out, we found a witness, a very reliable witness, who said that he talked to Jason Simpson, and Jason had a cut on his right hand, his knuckles, and it was covered up to some degree by a very large silver-looking ring, but it was in the process of healing. Had they interviewed him, it would have then become very obvious that he should have been considered then and now, and this would have not gone on for 18 years, a major suspect.
Well, now, wasn't there some sort of a diary in the box?
In that same locker that we talked about? You talked about this. It said, it's the year of the knife for me. I cut away my problems with the knife. I'm tired of being Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. I mean, those are all red flags that are in his diary, but according to the LAPD, when you send them a letter, you've not acquired anything new, and as a result, we're not interested. We did meet, though. I believe it was 2009 or 2010. We met with the Attorney General's investigative staff, and there was, I think, five people in the room, and they were adamant when we were over with our presentation that they could not believe what we been able to put together. And their comment was, don't let anything happen to this evidence. LAPD is not going to help you, but we will. Well, at that time, the O.J. Simpson trial was going on, and they postponed it for 2 weeks, said, we'll let you know within 2 weeks. 2 weeks went to three. Three went four. Four went to five. Next thing you know, we get an email. Not interested. Case closed.
Oh, we'll be back in just a moment with Mr. William Deere. If you have a question, my number is 877-254-7524.
Herb's Meats and Specialty Foods sells hard-to-find clean meats for your family's table. Cured beef bacon, veal, turkey, and summer sausage, all pork-free. Also all available in collagen casings. That's right, collagen casings and pasture-raised, healthy, no hormones, no antibiotics beef at Herb's Meats and Specialty Foods in Broomfield. Call 303-499-8166 or stop by 1000 Depot Hill Road at the intersection of Highway 287 and 10th Avenue in Broomfield. Ask about shipping.
Join the Beth Messiah Congregation for Pentecost 2012. That's the Feast of Shavuot. When? May 27th. Where? Lake Loveland North Shore Amphitheater. Special guest speaker Rico Cortez. Also our good friend Dr. Lance Thomas. Pack your own lunch and bring a blanket. Call 1-800-205-6245 for more information. That's Shavuot 2012. May the 27th with the Beth Messiah Congregation. Hag Sameach.
If drinking the purest natural artesian water is important to you, then thirst no longer. Fountain of Health, the nation's best natural pure water source located south of Brighton, is tested monthly and free from any surface water contamination. Fountain of Health provides refreshing natural artesian water from the lower Arapaho Aquifer. Bring your sterilized container or buy them at Fountain of Health, 13185 Brighton Road. That's 13185 Brighton Road, open 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Check them out at www.fountainofhealth.cc.
The United States Constitution is a joke to politicians in Washington, D.C. Visit America527.org to help defend America from her enemies, foreign and domestic. We believe in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence. We believe in liberty. We believe that only patriots can keep liberty alive. Work with America527.org to save liberty in America. Visit America527.org today.
Well, I stand here at the American Theater Network. I guess this morning, Mr. Wiggins here. If you're out in the listening audience, you have a question, my number is 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. Can we just touch on the trial in Nevada, where they set O.J. up? There's no question in my mind, I'm sure in yours either. He was set up. The guy who set him up was paid $100,000 or perhaps more. Who set O.J. up for that crime in Nevada for which he's serving in prison at the present time? And he wasn't guilty. He may not have been very smart. This guy had befriended him, pretended to be his friend. All the while, he was working to send him to prison. Let that be a lesson to you, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody comes and wants to be your friend, be careful. Anyway, how was he set up, and why was he set up?
Well, Thomas Riccio is a four-time convicted felon. He was getting ready to be charged with another crime, we understand, and I haven't been able to verify that portion. What I have been able to establish is that he took his room that he rented at the Las Vegas Hotel and wired it for sound. He knew that O.J. Simpson was going to be there because he was going to be the best man at a person's wedding. This gentleman, Thomas Riccio, had made arrangements for these two men to come from Los Angeles who had a lot of O.J.'s memorabilia that they were actually holding in possession for O.J. at a later date of when they did sell it, they would share the profits. The two men arrived. Keep in mind now, they've crossed the state line from California into Nevada. They arrived at the hotel. Riccio goes down, meets them, examines the items that they have in the trunk. They take it up to his room, and they spread it all out. Then Riccio goes downstairs and talks to O.J. at the bar and says, I'm getting ready to buy a bunch of your items that are going up for sale. And O.J. said, what are you talking about? He said, well, there's two gentlemen upstairs and named them. And he said, I'm going to take a friend, and we're going to be buying some of your stuff. He said, the hell you are. So he picks up the phone, my understanding, and calls him. The Nevada Police Department, and everybody else, and they said, look, O.J., I'm sorry, this is a civil matter, we can't help you. So O.J., not using good judgment again, goes up to the room with four or five other people, and they open down. This gentleman opens the door, Riccio, and there inside is these two gentlemen, all these items laid out on the bed. O.J. then said, these are my items, and these two men said, yes, they are, take them, O.J., I'm sorry, we apologize. Along with the O.J.'s items, there's a few other items that did not belong to O.J. Apparently, the gentlemen that were with him put stuff into a box, and they take it back to O.J.'s room. O.J. calls the guy on the phone and said, look, some of these are your items. Come get yours. All I want is what belongs to me. Next thing you know, police arrive, and O.J. is, in fact, arrested. And here he is in prison for 9 to 33 years. Most people for murder don't even get that kind of a charge. And yet the judge, about a year or two ago, gave back to O.J. Simpson all his items that he took that night that belonged to him. What a miscarriage of justice. The gentleman who crossed the state line, they're free.
Who had a pistol? Somebody had a pistol.
Yes, it was belonged to one. My understanding, it was not O.J. O.J. didn't know the guy, didn't even know that he had a pistol. He became part of the crowd that went up there to the room. But yet nobody is in jail to this very day. But O.J. Simpson. for this particular crime.
And who put up the money?
Well, we understand that a private source put up some, and another was TMZ put up $40,000 or $50,000 in return for the taped conversations. And those conversations, as you know, have been played a number of times by the press. TMZ got a good exclusive on it. Can you imagine how OJ was being set up? But they didn't do anything to the individual who was setting him up other than let him have a free ride and over $100,000+. Yet O.J. goes to prison. Can't get him one way in California. They get him in Nevada.
Absolutely. Well, who's calling in? Somebody's calling in.
Good morning, Dr. Stan. This is Janan in Texas.
Hi, Janan. How are you?
I'm very fine, thank you. I was wondering if Mr. Deere could tell us the status of Jason at this particular point in time.
Yes, the last we'd heard, he'd gone through 20 or 30 jobs. He was in Miami, Florida, lost that one, and we believe now he's back in outside of Atlanta, Georgia, where he's working as a pastry chef at a local country club.
I see. Well,
he's supposed to have gotten married to a lady by the name of Jessica Rooney. He is on Facebook, but you'll not be able to pull it up. But if you did, you see him holding a baby. That's not his baby, by the way. And we're not sure they're both still together. But we do know that they both reside there in Atlanta, outside of Atlanta.
Is there any chance that some kind of a review of OJ's prison sentence currently can be reviewed or shortened or anything? And I'll hang up and listen off air. Thank you.
Yeah, I understand as of about 2 weeks ago, they're filing for a new – bear with me, I have a throat problem. They're filing for a new trial. And I hope, based on the evidence and the fact that the judge gave him back the items that he took, and all the things showing that somebody profited by this and not O.J. Simpson, that maybe a new trial will be granted. And if that's the case, maybe he'll walk free.
Well, can he get a different judge? Because obviously this judge...
I certainly hope so, Stan. This is a great miscarriage. I've never met O.J. Simpson. I had the opportunity to do so and chose not to do so because I felt in my book I needed to be totally unbiased in my investigation. If I was going to undertake this and pay for it myself, I wanted to be the truth to the best of my ability. Now, we do have something that we've also, in addition to what I shared with your listeners a minute ago, about the cut on the knuckles, we have somebody who may have actually witnessed what went on in the alleyway behind Nicole's. But we're having trouble getting them to come forward.
Well, are you at liberty at least to mention what went on, even if you can't give the identity of the individual?
I can give you just a little bit of the fact that somebody was watching somebody else and observed the white Bronco pulling up in the back with two people in it that were later established to be O.J. Simpson and Jason Lamar Simpson. I can't verify it. I will tell you that the person, well, I have to be very careful at this point because I'm doing my very best, Dr. Stan, to get them to come forward. I feel that they are under a guilt trip. They feel some responsibility, but they're very hesitant in coming forward. But to me, as I've tried to tell them, I'm designing an email to go back out to that individual, which I have met. And I hope
God bless you. Thanks for everything you've done. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
If you're spending hard-earned money on supplements, you need to know about BioSuperfood because you're probably shortchanging yourself on nutrition and value. If you're buying products claiming to provide DNA protection from radiation, you're getting ripped off by inferior copycat products because there's no other product developed or researched like BioSuperfood. BioSuperfood is one complete superfood product that addresses radiation poisoning, allergies, arthritis, diabetes, high blood pressure, and other degenerative diseases. BioSuperfood helps digestion, decreases pain and inflammation, inflammation, increases flexibility, improves heart health and brain function, it boosts your immune system, and even inhibits the AIDS virus and cancerous cells. It's an antibacterial, antifungal, and anti-inflammatory. BioSuperfood is not another supplement. It's a whole food and contains over 5,000 nutrients. Call now and ask about your special discounts on your BioSuperfood purchase at 303-257-7576. That's 303-257-7576 or BioSuperfood at Hotmail.com. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3.
Holy is the Lord. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Well, Dr. Dan, here at the American Freedom Network, and this is really such a tragic miscarriage of justice. We have a 4-tape set on O.J. Simpson, and we think it's important. Now, it doesn't contain an interview with Mr. Deere, and we have interviewed him in the past, and fascinating information. Our 4-tape set is important. And we're going to if you order the 4-tape set and request it for a free copy of one of my interviews with Mr. Deere, we'll be glad to send that to you. We're going to modify the set, and certainly we think that the information is vitally important, and we think Mr. Deere has done a tremendous job of following through on this and getting information. And obviously, a tremendous amount of disinformation has been put out intentionally and purposely to confuse us about this. Somebody set O.J. up, no question about it. But the tragedy is certainly what really happened that night. There's a lot, and why did they do this? I believe it was done intentionally to create a barrier, a division between black and white, no question at all. Day after day after day after day, all the television networks focused on that. But when Time magazine published a picture of O.J. Simpson, they intentionally darkened his skin. This whole thing was intentional from the very beginning. They were going to get O.J., and they did. And most black people are absolutely right. He was set up. And most white people are wrong, but it's so easy to convince people of this. Anyway, under any circumstances, if you'd like to get our 4-tape set on O.J. Simpson, and if you request a free copy of my interview with Mr. Deere, we'll be glad to get it for you. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we have all sorts of other material going into the background of the things that are really done to divide the races. There's no question at all that, of course, they are poisoning the blacks in America today with fluoridated drinking water. Those of you who haven't got the material put out by Roger Masters of Dartmouth University, a professor there, sociologist, who found, of course, that if you add hydrofluorosilicic acid to the drinking water, you increase the level of lead in the blood of black children 6 times. You only double it in white children. And, of course, the lead in the minds, it goes into the brain, it creates rage, it creates homicidal activity. And if you look and compare the areas where they use the hydrofluorosilicic acid, that raises the level of lead in the brain. In those areas, the incidence of crime by blacks is dramatically increased, which is why one in every three black men between 21 and 31 is in prison, probation, or parole today. And you wonder why the blacks feel they're put down. Well, maybe you want to get involved in this battle, ladies and gentlemen. We could talk about Tuskegee. We could talk about how AIDS is a genetically designed disease that affects blacks far more than whites, which is why you go into areas of Africa today and 25% of the population is HIV positive. Why should the over almost half of the blacks in America today, almost half of the people who have died of AIDS or have HIV in America, they are black. This is the design disease. Our number 1-800-544-8900 something until tomorrow. May the Lord be with you.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the